This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
Well, you're very welcome here this morning, especially if you're a guest or a visitor. It's great to have you with us. And I urge you to grab what you can from this morning's encounter with God and don't leave the same way you came. That's my plea. So either in the worship or the communion or in, we'll have a time of prayer shortly. We'll be able to pray for each other. Grab onto the opportunity. My name's David. I'm one of the senior pastors here. Alison, my wife, is the other. And we're delighted to be here this morning and to be able to join with you in worshiping and celebrating what God's done amongst us. I love that video of last year. I just thought, because of what we're talking about today, let's have another look at it. It was just it's a lot of fun. So, welcome to Pie Chart Sunday. Woo! I know this is the highlight of the year for many of you. For others of you, I like pie charts. It just suits my way of understanding numbers, okay? But for some of you, it's less appealing. So we've got some new charts. I'm not getting enough from you. We got some new charts. That's it. I do apologize if you are a guest or a visitor because we're going to sort of dive in a bit to family business this morning. And it's about what's going on in this church. But extract what you can and take it back to your churches if you're part of a church and use what you can out of it. First of all, I'd like to read a scripture from 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'll put it up on the screen so you don't need your Bibles this time, although do look them up if you've got them with you. As you come to him, the living stone, that's Jesus, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's the whole point of communion. It's through Jesus we can offer sacrifices that are acceptable to God. But you, this is you, are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles. He doesn't mean just that they were foreigners and exiles from another country. He means we're also foreigners and exiles from this world because we are citizens of a different kingdom. He says, as foreigners and exiles, I urge you to abstain from sinful desires which wage war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans, that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. This is God's words to us. He gives it to us because he loves us. Thank you, Lord. I sometimes read that passage and I wonder, do we really understand our identity, who we are? This is not just a social club with therapeutic tendencies. He says we're chosen. We're a royal. If we look at the royal wedding a week ago, this is a royal group. This is a people of God. When you decide to follow Jesus, you transfer your citizenship and your identity. Just like Meghan, God bless her, Last Saturday, she went from being what they call a commoner to being a princess. Her identity changed. And so does ours when we decide to follow Jesus. Your identity comes not from what you've done, but from what has been done to you. You are chosen by God. You have been adopted by him into his family. Your sons and daughters, your princes and princesses of the king. You have been made holy by his mercy and forgiveness and his sacrifice on the cross. You are special because of what he has done for you. And then he develops this metaphor of the spiritual house, what we tend to call ourselves a community of faith. You can use any of those types of terms. And he says, now that we have that identity, we are a spiritual house, we are a community of faith, we are a bunch of people who are trying to follow Jesus, what next? He says, live such good lives. Our terminology is be such good neighbors that people will glorify God. So they look at the way you live and they'll say, God, to God be the glory. They look at the way we behave as a church and they'll say, to God be the glory. A community that reveals what God is like, that demonstrates his love, that opens a way for them, others, people too, to be chosen and to be made holy. This is who you are, Leeds Vineyard. You are a holy priesthood, precious to him. And as I enter into this, I'll be quick, I promise. A little examination of the business of Leeds Vineyard over the last year and looking forward to next year a little bit. It's in that context. That's what we're called to do. We're called to be a community of faith that transforms the people and the society around us. That we are different. That you are meant to be a holy people. You are a holy people. You are made holy. You're given a new identity. But that lands in the whoop and wharf of daily life in Yorkshire. And it costs money and it requires work and service. That this doesn't all happen by accident. There are people queuing up at the beginning to get the communion ready and to there's rehearsals going on for the band and there's people out talking to the neighbours and ministering to the children. There's work to be done. And because of that, I want to be honest with you and transparent with you and tell you what this costs and how we do this. Okay, so it's a celebration of what God's done and it's a time together of this incredible spiritual calling and the nuts and bolts of what it means to do this in a way that leaves people saying, glory to God, not criticizing us because we've done things poorly or been corrupt or whatever else. So that's the purpose behind this. That's why I give this priority once a year. So let me skip through a few slides. First of all, we are an umbrella charity. That's a bit different. That's nice, isn't it? Isn't that nice? Yeah, Roman and Hannah take the credit for all the prettiness on this, by the way. Wolfdale Vineyard is the umbrella charity for lots of other little charities. Wolfdale, if you're a regular giver to us, you've probably seen Wolfdale in the small print, or if you look on the small print on the website and stuff. It's the umbrella charity, and there's various activities going on underneath it. There's Sheffield Vineyard, there's Harrogate Vineyard, there's Bradford Vineyard, there's Leeds Vineyard, there's other things that we do, charitable enterprises that we do. Today I'm just talking about Leeds Vineyard. Leeds Vineyard, one of these plants underneath the overall umbrella. First of all, let's just think about our vision. Okay? I haven't asked you to memorize this, but it is there and it's important to who we are. It helps define our direction of travel and how we make decisions about what we do. We have a strap line which goes alongside it, the strap line which you probably don't know, but you see it every time you look at anything we do because it's on everything, is love God, love people, love in action. And we could talk about that a lot, but I don't want to do that today. I just want to read to you once again our vision statement. In fact, please stand and let's read this together. If you're not from Leeds Vineyard, read it with us and sort of encourage us, if you like. All together, let's go all the way through, okay? Keep up the energy, all the way through to the very last word. We believe God has called us to establish a growing, regional, biblically-based community of faith in Leeds. We will worship God, pray, communicate his love and mercy to all people, and commit to living out our faith in Jesus in a creative and contemporary way and the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe that there is good news for this generation in the kingdom of God, and we long to share that news, particularly in Leeds and the North. We aim to make, train, and equip followers of Jesus to be effective in the extending of God's kingdom, to develop leaders, to plant new churches, to contribute to the blessing of the whole church, and to minister with the poor in practical ways. Okay? Amen. Do sit down. That's what we do. I want to unpack just a little bit of that for you today, show you how that works. Let's first of all look at our priorities. We have... it's over there. We have a leaflet on priorities, which the welcome team, I think they're sort of otherwise engaged welcoming or something. The welcome team will wave a priorities leaflet. If you haven't seen this, please grab one off them. I don't think we've got enough for everybody, but if you're interested, just put your hand up and they'll give you one. We have six priorities. We're working on entering a seventh priority, which isn't quite there yet, but the next time I do this, it will be there. And these are our six priorities: to worship, the Bible, fellowship, ministry, sending, training and equipping. And I just want to spend a little bit of time on each of these. So worship, the priorities, by the way, are the things that we do, okay, or the things we think we should do. So you have permission, if you come to Leeds Vineyard for any length of time, and we're not doing these things, you can put your hand up and say, "Oi, you said these were our priorities. Why aren't we doing them?" Worship is one of the things. It's our focus. It's one of the things that draws us into the presence of God. By worship, we mean sung worship like we've done this morning, but we also mean worship of the whole of our lives. And we want to make that a focus and a sort of distinctive of the Vineyard as well as a priority. The Bible is that we seek inspiration from the Scriptures. That's where we get our counsel from, our advice from, our direction from, our help from. The Bible is God's love letter to us. And most of the teaching we do is straight out of the Scripture. And that's what we do. We believe the Bible is essential for faith and for living a fulfilled and effective life. Sending. You'll be familiar with Matthew 28, where Jesus says, "Go and make disciples." So by sending, we mean the whole range of things where we find ourselves sending people out, whether it be to Mexico or Southeast Asia on mission, or whether it be sending you into your workplaces or to your university, whether it be sending you into work with the kids or maybe be a great neighbor. That's what we mean by sending. It's an expression of our kingdom theology, that God is coming to be with us, and through us, through Leeds Vineyard, he's going out into Headingley and to Leeds and beyond. Training and equipping. We have a saying, everybody gets to play in the Vineyard, which means that anybody can pray, can teach, can lead worship, can serve. When I say lead worship, that's if you can play guitar in tune. And you can serve, you can be part of teams doing setup or ministering on the streets or decorating people's houses or working with the kids. Everybody gets to play. Everybody gets to pray for each other. You won't find Alison and me doing all the praying. Everybody gets to play. And we will train and equip people, all the people in the church, to do ministry, to do training, to do discipleship, to find out what you're really good at, what you're anointed in, what you're gifted in, and then equip you to do it more and more. We want to equip you to grow in your life as a follower of Jesus. Then there's fellowship, which is an old-fashioned word, but it works, if you'll forgive the sort of oldness of it. It means to do with sharing our common life, being together. Following Jesus is not a solo sport. It's a team game. And we have lots of expressions of that in the life of the Vineyard, the small groups in particular, of which we have lots, and that's the brochure for the summer. I think we've got 33 or something that you can choose from. And it's our way of saying, get in with other people. Do life together with other people. Share. Be friends. Eat. Drink. Laugh. Cry. Support each other. Pray for each other. As we do life together, we know others and we are known by others. We love and are loved. And then there's ministry. Well, by ministry, we mean a ministry to the sick, ministry to the lost, ministry with the poor. We value the individual, and we value healing being given visible expression in the way we minister to the individual. I believe that everybody is in full-time Christian ministry. Every hour of the day, you're the hands and eyes and mouth of Jesus in the world in which you live. So we want to do ministry. We want to pray for the sick. We want to pray for our community. We want to go out and lay hands on everybody as well as pray for each other here. We believe in power evangelism where God comes and impacts people's life as we pray. We believe in compassion and generosity as a form of ministry. So those are our priorities. Just let's give a little example of them, priorities in action. So we have a saying, the meeting place, it's here, is the training place for the marketplace. So on a Sunday like now, which is a large group, or the engine rooms, or conferences, you'll be training. In small groups, you'll be training. Whether you're in a growth group, or an activity group, or children's group, or a student group, there'll be some level of training in there. Tonight we have Discovering Vineyard, and our agenda tonight is to learn to pray for each other, and Alice and I will be teaching about how we pray for the sick. It's a meeting place where we pray for each other, and we train each other so that we can go out into the marketplace, our homes, our schools and universities, our workplaces, wherever we go, and pray for whoever we come across. It's not just for here. It is for here, but this is the training place for the marketplace. Church planting, as you may have picked up in the vision statement, is part of one of our callings, and it's part of our sending. So Alison and I were planted out of Southwest London Vineyard 20 years ago, and in the last few years we've planted out in Harrogate, and then in Sheffield, a bunch of people went off to Sheffield, a bunch of people have gone off to Bradford, a bunch of people have gone off to Edinburgh to start other churches, other vineyard churches, who are very similar to us. They're our children, if you like. They have our likeness, and we have the likeness of the church that was sent out from us. It's part of our priorities. It's part of our vision. Right, what's happening on Sundays? Let's just have here's a graph for you. Okay, this graph expresses the number of people we count on a Sunday morning. We have to do that just for catering and for knowing whether we need to worry about expansion and stuff. So the bottom line is the number of teens, then it's the number of kids, and then it's the number of adults. And it fluctuates. It's roughly speaking rising. But the main thing that we've noticed is that since we moved here, it's completely changed. So whereas in our previous expressions, which were in big schools on the edge of Leeds, we had lots of families and lots of children, and it was growing in that area. as soon as we moved here, the demographic changed, and we're sort of rebuilding, particularly with adults. We have a lot more diversity now than we used to have. I don't think we're going to see much growth above that for a little while, because we're full in this room. When you come in now, if you imagine somebody coming in now, there's not a lot of space to sit. And people, if you're new, you don't really want to sit in somebody else's pew. There's a sort of there's a social barrier there. So we need to be able to create some more space. We could use a balcony, but that has certain insurance and other issues. One of the things when we buy Vineyard House, which is a different story I'm not going to go into today, but that'll enable us to have some overflow on a Sunday, and that will create some space. So that's, I don't really foresee a huge amount of growth until we can create some more space here on a Sunday. But we feel called to fill the building. This used to be full every Sunday with 500 people 50 years ago. And we feel God said that he's going to do that again. I think it'll look a bit different than it did 50 years ago, but we are going to do that. I think, well, God's going to do that. Let me just tell you a little bit about what it costs when we work in teams. So on a Sunday morning, when we do weekly worship, we have to hire this venue. It costs us about £330 a week. There's office space for all the backup stuff that happens here. There's a setup team. They do the logistics and storage, and they move all the stuff around. We have 20 minutes after our friends from the Headingley Methodist Church move out of this room. We have 20 minutes to set everything up. So the setup team and the worship team who do this bit are amazing that they can do that. Whenever I tell other pastors about that, who are in similar arrangements to us, they can't believe that it happens in 20 minutes. They struggle with an hour and a half. Or 2 hours, and we can do it. 20 minutes, yes. So you make me look good in those circles, guys. Thank you. That's really important. There's a whole of the welcome team, all the resources they have, the Bibles and news sheets, the information leaflets, and the price they pay for standing in the cold in the middle of winter when it's snowing and raining, and they're still out there. The refreshments team, there's a lot of planning and resource gone into that, all the hot water and that we have to get ready beforehand, and the refreshments, and today, the pies. Did you enjoy the pies? On theme, you see, pie chart Sunday, pies. Yeah, okay. Vineyard Kids, tons going on in there. There's a whole lot of leaders, the leadership team for each of the weeks. They're going on there. They do an amazing job, always have done. Toys, snacks, all sorts of things. T for 12, which is our teenage group, similar sorts of things. The worship, there's several bands, and they rehearse midweek. They have to get their kit. We have to buy all the PA. We do pay for copyright for the songs that we use. The AV equipment, Roger and his team with all the projections and all that sort of stuff. Those of us who teach, I give large amounts of time to preparing, to trying to make something, a meal that's worth eating, to use that as a metaphor. And then there's a communion, of course. I don't know where it all appears from, but all this matzos and juice and stuff all appears like sort of magic on the right Sunday, which is great. That team led by Bob and Kay who do that every week. So you can see there's a lot that goes in to each Sunday morning. What does it cost? Well, roughly speaking, we have about 50 volunteers serving each week, and each contribute on average 5 hours, some a lot more, some less, during the week in preparation and in follow-up, in cleaning and everything else, the band practice and such like. So if you've got 50 people with roughly 5 hours each, that equals 12,500 hours in a year of volunteer time. And in the small groups, we've got 45 leaders, who serve about 120 people in 33 groups at the moment, each week during the term times. Again, about average of 5 hours. There's a time actually in their houses leading the teams, and then there's a preparation, there's follow-up, there's some pastoral care going on. So say 45 people, 5 hours, 40 weeks of the year, that's 9,000 hours of volunteer time. It's incredible, isn't it? All that stuff going on. The team that sort of enables that, that underpins that, allows that to happen, that sort of fills in the gaps behind the scenes, there's some expertise there, but also availability during the day, is the staff team. And we have about 10 people working part-time. Our total salary bill is just over 100,000. They're all part-time, averaging about 2 to 3 days a week. And we calculate that they release something like 20,000 hours of voluntary service every year. So if you turn that into working days, that's 2,700 working days and 10 full-time years of employment, of voluntary work. If you calculated that at living wage, it's about £160,000 a year. So the staff team, they're not meant to do the church stuff. They're meant to equip you to do the church stuff. And it really sees this explosion of compassion ministry and service and leadership. It's incredible. You are incredible. Here's a little very quick picture of the staff team. They're all pretty ugly, but they all work really hard, and they're amazing in their commitment. And they're set times, but to be honest, none of them work their set times. They all give tons of time over that, as well as serving in voluntary teams and such like. So they're amazing. Here's our regular giving over time. You can see this is quite interesting. This is a new chart. I like this one. This is, I think, Roman invented this one. Our giving is pretty level over the last, 7 years, except that when we moved here, 2015, it dropped off. There, like that. Which is a reflection of the demographic, and we did know that would happen when we moved here. We knew that we would see that happening. And that was tough to deal with because we don't have any fat in the system, so that was really difficult to readjust. And it's beginning to climb back up again now as the numbers grow and as people, new people are giving. It's beginning to come up again. That orange line in the background is last year. We had the Steps campaign to raise money to buy the building, which is I'm going to tell you more about in a week or two. So that was $250,000 in net, and then there's other stuff on top of that. Amazing. So basically doubled our normal giving in 1 year. Thank you. That's an outstanding generosity, and it's going to see some fantastic results. So very quickly, last year's income was $241,000. You like this chart? That's a nice chart, isn't it? That's better than I used to do as a pie chart, but they've changed it. So most of our income comes from your giving. That's the big blue bit. There's gift aid on top of that of about $30,000. Then there's some other bits and pieces because we provide services to the other churches, Harrogate, Sheffield, Bradford, and we get some income from that and some other bits and pieces. But it's primarily your regular giving that pays it for everything. Okay, next slide is how we spent the money last year. We spent $231,000, just a bit more than that. Just over half was on salaries. Quite a lot of ministry and reach out, which is everything that's outside of our church. Things like our missionaries in Mexico and Southeast Asia, as well as what we do around Headingley and Leeds. And then obviously we have admin to pay for, that's office costs. And then we give 5% of our income to VC UK, Vineyard Churches International. It says 4%, we will catch up. We catch up eventually, but we always give 5% eventually. So the vast majority of our money goes on people-oriented stuff, but we do have to have a background, a bit of system in place to make it all happen. How close was that to the budget we sent last year? Did it work out as planned? Pretty much. We didn't give away quite as much in reach out as we would like. We'll catch up on that eventually. Ministry, that's probably the kids next door or something like that might have cost a bit more. Pretty well bang on salaries. Admin was over. And I think some of that will be down to GDPR. God bless it. Can you imagine the amount of work that's gone into just getting us all to tick those boxes, which is a good thing. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying. I've talked about it far too much already. The next year looks like this. This is our budget for next year. So it's two-thirds spending on people, about a third on office expenses. Salary is a bit less than 50% is what we're planning at the moment. There's some tweaks to go in there. Admin at 23%. The new thing for next year is Vineyard House. We're putting aside 5% of our income as we go along to make sure that we can pay the mortgage and run that building and get rid of any debts associated with that over the long haul. That was so exciting. Have you got any questions? What new ministries are planned? That's a big question, Michael. Our history is that we have done lots and lots of ministries, particularly out outside of the church life. But when we moved here, we had to sort of recalibrate, and we pulled back from a lot of what we did, probably three quarters of what we did out there. We still, Elaine manages the Child Contact Center, and that's still going and is doing incredibly well. And there's some other bits and pieces. And we sort of pulled right back, and then God said, buy this building, which we're buying, and I'll tell you more about that in a few weeks' time. Once that gets into the groove, that's going to lead to an explosion of things. It's, at the leaders' weekend last week, and I was warning the leaders that we're about to enter a new era. I think that when this building gets going, all of a sudden we're going to find a mechanism for expressing the ministry that we want to express. If you want to get a rough idea, go to the website, type in rocks, and look at the rocks, the seven rocks that we've detailed under the Steps campaign. That gives you an idea of the sort of things that we're going to do. In the next months, we will lift up the rocks and see what's underneath some of them. Okay? That's about as far as I've got time to go now. Any other questions? Ah, I like that. Thank you, Tom. Staff, where are you? If you're on staff, stand up. Sue. So we're not all here. Sorry, it's Sue they were waving at, Sally. Sue is the face and voice of the office, okay? So she's the one that keeps us all happy on a Sunday. Hannah does lots of the images that you see, all the website and pictures and literature. Alison, Hannah does a lot of that, as well as some of the administration for the building. This is Sally, who is carrying the torch. No, what's... I'm not prepared for that. The what? The heart. No, she's maternity cover for Anne, which is, I don't know what that is, but it's a big thing. Plus, she also is oversees the pastoral care of the church and the small groups. Elaine is the manager for the Child Contact Center. Many of you volunteer with that. And this is my wife, Alison, and I. We're both on staff part-time as well. Okay? Great. So you sit down. Oh, no, you want to say thank you. So say thank you. There's also Adrian, who actually goes to South Parade Baptist Church. He's the business manager. There's Liz, who was hosting here earlier on. There's Anne Buchan, who's away on holiday, who looks after the kids. Anne Buchan is on maternity. She doesn't count. She's on maternity leave. If you're listening to this, Anne, just kidding. Love you. You're great. Say hi to Ezra. Is that it? Is that it? Okay, great. Trustees. Let's stand up, trustees. Alex, I think they're all on holiday. So, Alex, you embody the trustees. Alex has been the chair for a while, quite a long time. He's now going to head up the interaction with Vineyard House. It's £1 million project. He will be the trustee tasked with that responsibility. He didn't like the way I phrased that. Any other? One more question. One more question. Pete Sammons usually has a question. Where's he? Ah, doing kids worship. Is there another servant serving in there? Thank you, Pete. Good timing.
Is there a reason why staff are part-time?
Why are the staff part-time? Why are they part-time, Sally? I think if we were double the size, I suspect we would have fewer part-timers. It would be most we would be able to. So the administration in the office is significant, but it doesn't require a full-time person. If we had double the stuff going on, then we would need a full-time person. So some of it's to do with that. Some of it's to do with the staff we have at the moment have other jobs or a family and whatever, and have only got part-time available. Some of it's to do with budget we can't afford. I would love to pay some of our existing staff much more time. I'd love to pay them for the time they actually do, which is beyond what they're contracted to do. But we can only spend what we get coming in, so we have to budget within that. Anybody itching for another question? I know you're really, really interested in this stuff. We used to print out all the accounts but and put them on a pile down here, but nobody ever took them. So if you want them, they're on the Charity Commission website or on our, if you ask us, we'll be glad to send them to you. Okay, let's finish by going back to this passage in 1 Peter 2, very quickly. That's all very businesslike. Doing church costs money. Where there's money, there's potential for great things to happen. And there's also opportunity for things to go wrong. And it's really important to me that we handle the money that you give really well and transparently. And we want to avoid being accused, like it says at the end of this passage, they accuse you of doing wrong. I don't want to give any grounds for anybody to accuse us of doing wrong. But what I want you to remember is that the most important thing is that you are seen by God, not as checkbooks, but as chosen and precious. Worth dying for. Holy, set apart. And we've got great news for this generation. Do you want to share in that? Should we do that? Let's live such good lives that people may see our good deeds but glorify God. There's work to do. Let's go for another great year, shall we? Say yeah, if you want to do that. Okay, why don't you stand? We're going to pray. Let's just wait on him for a moment. We've overrun, as we always do, with pies. But we started a bit late, so we're just going to give a little bit of time for the Holy Spirit to minister to us. Our mind is full of maybe numbers and pie charts. That's if you've been listening or watching. But I think the Lord wants to bless you. He wants to remind you that you're chosen and that you're precious and that you're set apart for him, that your identity has changed. So Holy Spirit, we ask you to come. That's it. Let him come. Yeah. Let him come. This is the Spirit of the living God who loves you, who gave his life for you, who wants to bless you right now. He wants to bless you right now. Let him come.